This morning, I looked outside about 3:30 in the morning, and I saw the moon. It looked like a half moon to me. I looked up in my encyclopedia, and I guess the technical term for that is third quarter or last quarter moon. But what that all translates into is there's 54 days to the feast, 49 days to the Day of Atonement, and 40 days to the Feast of Trumpets. So, as Ray said, the feast season's coming around quickly. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to Philippians 4, verses 11 through 13, and I'd like to read that as a starting point. And I want you to keep that, especially one scripture in your mind, verse 13, in the back of your mind. Philippians 4, verse 11. Now I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatever state I am therewith to be content. And we read about all the different things that Paul went through in the Bible reading, how he was beaten and was shipwrecked and all those things. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I want you to remember that verse. I want you to think about that verse. Children, you can start coming up. I forgot to turn this on. It's coming on. Hi, Adam. How are you doing? It's good to see you. I don't know if I'm hitting the right buttons. Who's good at reading? Man, we got a lot of people good at reading. All four of them. Well, that's good. Can you read what's on my tie? Can somebody help him? Wow, and it says Philippians 4:13. Oh, good.
I have a space book that I can read. I can read a space book that I have without even seeing it. Without even having the.
What are you telling me? That you have it memorized? Is that what you're telling me? Well, what I would like you to do today is memorize this verse. Because I'm going to need your help today with a number of things here. But the whole way through the sermon, every time I say the word strength or strong or strengthen, I want you children back there to say, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. You think you can handle that? Okay. And hopefully we'll remember that verse. Okay, you don't know? I think you could do that. Okay. I'm going to go about this a little different than what I had planned, but I'll tell us not really a story, but a personal experience I had. In the winter of 1977, it was on a Monday, I was getting a cavity filled in my teeth at the dentist. 77, I'm trying to think how old I would have been. Somewhere in my 20s. Man, that's a long time ago. Do you think they had horse and buggies then? Yeah, they probably did. They probably did. I didn't take note. Go ahead, Leah. You saw some of the Amish people, didn't you? Yeah, they do have them today. Yeah. Wow. I want to get back to the story if I can. Can I get back to this? Well, at that time I didn't take Novocaine for any fillings. But the dentist and his assistant were kind of amazed that I was so relaxed. As a matter of fact, they were drawing my teeth away and I was just as calm as could be. And the reason for that was that my pain tolerance was really high because a few weeks before that, I had one of the most painful experiences in my life. I was on the wrestling team at York College. And I was warming up and I was doing a stretch like a split. You all know what a split is, don't you? Well, one of the other wrestlers went and kicked my leg out. And it hurt me and I pulled my groin muscles, both of them. So I was hurt pretty bad. And the next day, the pain got more intense. And I ended up passing out as I was going to the bathroom. And ended up in a bed for 3 days. I couldn't walk for 3 days because it hurt so much. And during that time period, I questioned whether it was worth living. I was very depressed. But there was a man I had met earlier in my life. Through a book. I met him through a book. I didn't meet him personally. That he helped me realize that it was worth living. And no matter what pain or trial I was going through. And that man's name is Roy Campanella. And the book that he wrote was It's Good to Be Alive. And today I want to give you some brief facts about his life and show how his relationship with God should inspire us all. And we're going to get on the internet now. And Roy Campanella was a catcher. Yes, in baseball. Oh, I'm not hooked. I know the children don't know about Roy Campanella, but how many of the adults? Jim does? Oh, my daughter does too. Huh. But I'll give you some facts about him. I believe he was the best catcher in baseball history, personally. I'm sure other people would argue about that. Okay. He won the most valuable player in the National League 3 times. 1951, 53, and 55. Here's some pictures of him. What position did he play? Do you four know that? What position he played? Who wears all that getup? Do you know, Adam? Who wears all that protective stuff in baseball? No, well, an umpire does put some of it on, but no, he's a base. He plays. He's not the umpire. Do you know Nathan?
The one who throws the ball?
Nope, he's the one that catches it. He's the catcher. Okay. Let's go back to the photos. Here's some pictures of him. I'm going to show a couple more. There he's batting. The 1 year, and I forget what year it was, he had 40 home runs. And that was the most any catcher had till 1990 sometime. I forget when. And here's another picture of them. Okay. It's all those pictures. Now, let me... here's a couple more pictures of him as he was playing. As a matter of fact, that one's the same. That other one's the same. There he's tagging someone out at home plate. At least I guess he's tagging them out. And there's some more pictures of him. Just to give some more facts about him. In 1955, well, he was the fourth black player to be signed in the history of baseball in the major leagues. In his book, I think I'm pretty sure he mentions that he was actually almost under contract before Jackie Robinson, but for some reason it didn't come about, but Jackie Robinson ended up being the first one. In 1955, he signed a contract with the Brooklyn Dodgers that made him the highest paid payer in the club's history at that time. He would pray every night and thank the Lord for giving him the ability to play ball. Okay, but on January 28, 1958, his life dramatically changed. He had a car accident on an icy road, and he lost control of his car. He hit a telephone pole and the car overturned. And he ended up, his body was jackknifed and wedged under the dash. And he was afraid the car was going to catch on fire, so he tried to turn the ignition off. But he couldn't. He couldn't move because he was paralyzed. And he cried out, "Oh Lord, have mercy on me." He had to wait for help to get him out of the car, and after that he had 4 hours of emergency surgery. His spinal cord was almost severed. I want to show some pictures of him during, I think it's these. Here shows some pictures of him as he, this is actually during his recovery. He was in this type of bed. I'll talk about him a little bit about how depressed he got, but he's on his way to recovery here. And this is they had to put him in this position because he couldn't move. He could move his hands a little, and he was paralyzed from his shoulders down, so he could use his hands a little, but not totally. There's a picture of him. They had him upside down. And there they have him. He's right there. You can see him. Now here's a picture, and I'm pretty sure it's his son pushing him with his neck brace. And there he's in bed. He's definitely smiling here, so it's on his way to recovery. That's the one I showed. Let me go. I want to show a few more here. This one. Okay, there's that same picture of his son pushing him. Here's a picture of his son. It looks like he's showing him baseball cards. And we saw that before. There he is in bed with the nurses and the doctor there. And I think, yeah, that's the last one. Okay, one other thing I want to do, I'm going to show two other things here. I'm going to show him hitting a home run. There he hits a home run and he's walking around. And he had effect because of his recovery from, he never really recovered from being paralyzed totally, but he went on to inspire a lot of people. And I'm just going to play this song real quick. I've got to plug this in. It does have one word that I wouldn't use, but I can't muted out. But this shows the effect that he had on people.
When I was a little lad, I teamed up with my daring dad, and we stole off to Brooklyn's Ebbets Field. With just a nickel on the L, a man could ride from here to hell. We got off at Prospect Park, if I remember well. We walked through someone's neighborhood, a few more blocks and there it stood, the edifice that housed my boyhood dream. I realized I can't forget, the ball game hadn't started yet, and what this moment meant to me is more than I could tell. I saw Robinson and Hodges and all the other Dodgers, some were fielding grounders, others out there catching flies. There among this great array, the finest players of my day, and something about the catcher caught my eyes. He was a strong and friendly fella with the name of Campanella. He was someone special, I could see right off the bat. There was something in his bearing, that he was wearing, and the funny way he always turned his hat. I can't forget you, Campanella. You've been my hero from the start. I can't forget you, Campanella. You're still the MVP within my heart. You're still the MVP within my heart.
Okay. Let's see here. We can get off of there. That's all we'll be on there. Okay, now, what's that say again up there? Go ahead, Leah.
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Right. Now, when we read in the Scriptures, it'll be a little bit till I get to the Scriptures. Not real long, because I got a little bit of more of the story of Roy Campanella to talk about. Every time... I'm going to call out your name, Adam, when it's time to say this verse. Then everybody will know. Is that okay?
Okay.
Okay, I thought it would be. Now, let's see if I can blacken the screen. You can go back to your seats or you can stay up here if you want. I don't care. Yeah, there we can blacken the screen till that time. Okay. In his book, It's Good to Be Alive, he writes that he felt that the first 100 days after his accident were the worst in his life. He had to be strapped in a bed. He couldn't move, as you saw. Except he could, as I mentioned, move his arms a little. For 7 weeks he laid in one position, and they moved a bed so he wouldn't get bed sores. He had tongs coming out of his head, told his neck in place so it would heal. He caught pneumonia 3 days after the accident and thought he was going to die and nearly did die. And he didn't care much. He was a helpless cripple. He needed constant attention. He felt the worst day in his life was when he saw himself in a mirror and all kinds of tubes coming out of him. his body and his head was shaved. He never felt so low. Again, he asked God to have mercy on him. He didn't want to see anyone or have friends come to see him like that. He actually begged his wife not to bring the children in to see him. He didn't even want to light on him. He wanted it to be dark. He had the nurses pull the blinds. He just wanted to be remembered as a baseball player, not like this. He couldn't help thinking bad thoughts when he was alone. What am I going to do? Will I never walk again? Will I always be helpless, unable to move? What about my family? What kind of life will it be for them with a cripple for a husband and a father? These thoughts kept gnawing at him, and the days were as black as the night in his mind. He lost interest in everything. He was filled with self-pity and despair. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 23, and I'm going to quote from his book. This is on page 194 and 195, but he'll be quoting or have the nurse read him the 23rd Psalm, so you could turn there. Picking it up in the book, no matter how hard I tried to think of other things, my mind always came up with the same question. What good will I be to anyone? I wasn't getting any better. The doctors and nurses tried to cheer me up. They talked kindly with me and tried to get me interested in other things. They turned on the radio and read the sports page. They even brought in a TV set, but I didn't want to look at it, which I could have through a mirror on the bed bar. I just laid on my back, my brain full of panic. There were times when I felt close to hysteria. I know I cried myself to sleep many a night. One day, Dr. Sagtakin, I'm probably butchering that, so I asked him to apologize, or forgive me, came in and asked the nurse to leave and close the door. I couldn't move my head, of course, and I couldn't see him. But I could tell by the tone of his voice that he wasn't just coming by to pass the time of day and jolly me up. He got right to the point. He said he was disappointed in me. He said he expected me to put up more of a battle. He told me to stop feeling sorry for myself, that I wasn't the only man who had ever been hurt. Roy, he said, you got to fight. We can only help you 10%. The other 90 has to be your effort. His lecture shook me up. He talked a while longer. After he left, I began to think. I knew he was right. I had to start thinking right thoughts. I had to get hold of myself. All my life, whenever I was in trouble, I had turned to God for help. I remember my Bible. I asked for the nurse on duty to get it out of the drawer of the night table and opened it to the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of death. This is my comment. I have one translation that says, though I walk through the valley overshadowed by death. And I think that's a very appropriate translation, because we all walk through, as we were talking in the comments about how the world's getting more evil. We're all appointed to die. We all walk through a valley that's overshadowed by death. It's in a figure of speech. I will fear no evil, back in the book, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. From that moment on, I was on my way back, and I knew I was going to make it. I no longer felt sorry for myself, but this was a little tough break that happened to me, but it was something I knew I could handle with the help of the good Lord. It's quite a nice thing to have God on your side, and I know He is on mine. Three times since the accident, He pulled me through. I am a lucky man, He has in the book. I would rather add I'm a blessed man, because He was surely blessed. I thank God that I am alive. This was a challenge, the greatest I ever faced. I was determined to lick it. I knew I would have a long, tough fight in front of me, but I was no longer afraid. I knew that He would help me if I helped myself. I was willing to do whatever was necessary, as much as necessary, to beat this thing. I compared it to baseball. When you're in a slump, you don't feel sorry for yourself. That's when you have to try harder. You don't quit. You have to have faith, hope, and conviction that you can lick it. Without faith, you don't have much chance. And that's this is my comment. That's your true in the Christian faith. Or in the Christian walk. If we don't have faith in God, we don't have much of a chance because everything around us is battling us. Back to the book. I prayed every day now, as I have every day of my life. I used to say a prayer before each game, just before the national anthem. I didn't pray for victory. The good Lord's not out there to win a game for you. This is my comment. I like his attitude because God doesn't care who wins the Super Bowl. He doesn't care who wins the World Series. And his comment is, you shouldn't ask him for that kind of help. I pray that I should stay healthy and not get hurt. And that's what God wants to hear from us. I don't think that the Lord has turned his back on me. That's the end of that quote. And now, and after the talk he had with that doctor, he made great strides to help himself and others. He prayed to God for help and guidance. He read through his Bible every chance, or he read his Bible every chance he had. He went on to become an inspiration to many people, especially disabled people. He would go through different institutions, hospitals he was at, and he would visit the other patients and help them. I'd like to quote the book again. This is on page 224 and 225. There was a middle-aged man who lost a leg in an automobile accident. They fitted him with a wooden leg, but he would never try to walk on it. He just sat in a wheelchair, refusing to even try to walk, but every once in a while, he would cry. One day, I wheeled over to him in the corridor and spoke with him. You think you're the unluckiest man in the world because a little thing like this has happened to you, I told him, but you're wrong. You're a lucky man. Just think of how much worse off you could be. I'd give a million to be in the condition you're in. You can walk. Man, how can you sit there in a wheelchair when you can just get up and walk is beyond me. Why, you can walk right out of here if you have a mind to, all by yourself without having to depend upon anyone else. I kept after him for 2 weeks, and finally one day I saw him outside the hospital with his family. He was walking on his wooden leg. He left the next day and he walked out of the hospital with a cane. I mean, he inspired people. He inspired me 20 years after he had his accident. And even to this day, he's an inspiration to me. One doctor said in an interview that he honestly believed that Roy's contribution to this life has been far greater because of his accident than anything he could possibly contribute to it through baseball. He gave hope to thousands all over the world. He went on to become a radio announcer. He would interview sports figures. He coached for the LA Dodgers for a number of years, at least into the 80s. I don't remember. I gave this parts of this as a sermonette back in Worldwide, and I don't remember when. But whenever if Mr. Foster was still here, so it had to be before Mr. Pickett. And Mr. Foster left in 90? Does anyone know? Well, I think it was in the late 80s when I gave it. So he was still actively involved whenever I gave this. He did die in 1993 from a heart attack. He never walked since the accident. He put 5 children through college in his wheelchair. His strength and courage came from his contact with God. And that's what I'd like to spend the remainder of the sermon on, talking and looking up scriptures that talk about strength more so. Courage is not mentioned that many times. But I'd like to turn... Well, what's this verse say, Adam? If I can get it up, I'm hitting the wrong button. There. What's that say? Come on, children, don't be so shy. Well, how about if you say it with me, Adam? Will you say it with me? No? Okay, well, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Okay, let's turn to Psalm 27, and we'll read the entire psalm. This is the Psalm of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my strength. Adam, are you going to help me or are you going to be shot? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'll just let that up instead of taking it off. The Lord is my strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And I definitely think there's a link with these verses that talk about strength that I'll be reading, and that we can be strengthened through Jesus Christ, through all our trials, through all our sufferings. I think our trials and sufferings are there just like what happened to Roy Campanella. I think it was to make him a better person and help others. And I think many times the things that we go through are for correction maybe, but more often they're to strengthen us and help us, and that way we can help other people and we can be an example. Verse 2, when the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. This is talking about his enemies. Well, what Roy Campanella went through was an enemy. What we go through many times with our suffering, it's an enemy to us. You know, and in 1 Corinthians it says that death is an enemy. Verse 3, though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Through war, though war shall rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. From the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion. I love this verse. It pictures God providing a canopy over us, a tent over us, and protecting us through our trials. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. You know, it talks in the New Testament about seeking God. You know, knock and seek. We need to seek God for help in situations when we're deeply depressed in things, and He will help us. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation, when my father and my mother forsake me. That's when you're at your lowest, when your father and mother forsake you. Because you have no one else. They're the closest relative you have. They forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in plain paths because of my enemy. Deliver me not over unto the will of my enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. So sometimes we have to wait. Sometimes things don't happen immediately. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thy heart. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He will strengthen our hearts. Wait, I say, on the Lord. I'd like to turn over to Psalm 31. I think Jim last week read both of these portions of both these psalms about the saints. And they're just powerful psalms, I think. Psalm 31, to the chief musician, a psalm of David. In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in Thy righteousness. Bow down Thy ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be Thou my strong rock for a house of defense to save me. For Thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for Thy namesake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me, for thou art my strength. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Into thy hands I have committed my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. And then he goes on to talk about his enemies. I'll drop down to verse 13. For I have heard the slander of many. So slander was involved in what David had to battle from his enemies. Fear was on every side. Where they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my life. But I trust in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hands of my enemies. Again, he talks about them, his enemies. Drop down to verse 23. O love the Lord, all you his saints. For the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully, rewards the proud doers. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Your heart, all you that hope in the Lord. Turn to Psalm 41. And I think this quote, this psalm he had, what I'm going to read here, Psalm 41, 1 through 3, I think that was in his book, because it does describe what he went through. To the Psalm 41, to this chief musician, a psalm of David. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. And Roy Campanella, as far as I know, did that all through his life, consider the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and he shall bless, and he shall be blessed upon the earth. And thou wilt not deliver him into the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Him upon the bed of languishing. And he was on a bed of languishing. Thou wilt make all his bed in his sickness. And God did that to him. He gave him the courage and the strength to go through that horrible accident and the results of it. And God just strengthened him. Turn to Isaiah 40. And we'll just read two verses in Isaiah. This is one of my favorite verses too. Verse 28 in Isaiah 40. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching of his understanding. Verse 29. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increases strength. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail, but they wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. I don't remember exactly when, but Catherine must have been about 10, 8 or 10, somewhere in that period. But we were reading through the Bible, and we read through Isaiah. I came to that verse, and I must have laid around a lot when I got home from work, and she heard that, and she said, "Oh, good. You know, you'll be renewed. Your strength will be renewed," she was thinking. So I still kind of remember that. It brings a warm memory to me. And he will renew your strength. Let's go to Psalm 71. Read some of that. This is one of the hymns we sang in Worldwide. At least portions of it are. I forget which hymn it is. Psalm 71. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me and save me. Be thou my strong habitation. There it's talking about strength. And again, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandments to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O God, out of the hands of the wicked, out of the hands of the unrighteous and cruel man. For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. By thee have I been holden up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. Again, God's compared to something protective, and I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. Cast me not off in the time of the old age. Forsake me not when my strength fails. Again, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. For mine enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God has forsaken him, persecuted him, take him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O God, make haste for my help. Let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. But I will hope continually, and I will yet praise thee more and more. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the days, for I know not the numbers thereof. I will go in the strength of the Lord. Again, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-haired, I appreciate that verse much more than I did in the 80s when I read it. I'm not too sure I had gray hair then, but I got a lot now. O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength. Again, he's going to show God's strength. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Unto this generation and thy power, to everyone that is to come. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Thou hast done great things. O God, who is like unto thee? Thou which hast showed me great and sore trouble shall quicken me again and shall bring me up again from the depths of the earth. I think that's talking about the resurrection personally, but when you go through trials like Roy Campanella did or sufferings, you know, God does raise us up through our trials. So it can be both ways. It doesn't just have to be the resurrection. Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. I will also praise thee with the psaltery, even thy truth, O my God. Unto thee will I sing with the harp, O thou Holy One of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul, which thou hast redeemed. My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long, for they are confounded, for they are brought unto shame that seek my hurt. And waiting on God and Him giving us the strength. The one song we sang today, what was the last song we sang? Which number was that? 266. Oh, yeah, 266. What scripture was that based on? Was that based on Psalm 28? Okay, that's not the one. It was the last one we sang. It was the third one we sang. What psalm's that? Is that based on the psalm up at the top? Well, I'm striking out at all. What's the second psalm? I don't think it's glorious things. I'm striking out. Okay, no, it's not. To go to Psalm 28. I was thinking I had that written in my notes, and it's not. We'll just read two verses in Psalm 28. I believe it's the last two verses. It's 7 and 8. It's close to the last two. The Lord is my strength and my shield. Again, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. My heart trusts in Him and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices and with song will I praise Him. The Lord is their strength. Again, you could say they can do all things through Christ which strengthens them. Their strength. And He is saving strength of His anointed. The margin in my Bible has He's the strength of salvations, plural. That could be translated. So again, saving strength of His anointed. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And you think of that verse. He is the saving strength of His anointed. We are anointed with the Holy Spirit by God. And Christ gives the saving strength to strengthen us. It fits right in with that verse. Let's go to Psalm 46. Okay, Psalm 46. And I'll read verses 1 through 3. God is our refuge and strength. Again, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. In very present help in trouble, therefore will not we fear. Though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, and though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah. It doesn't matter what we go through in life. If we go through a hurricane, the different aspects of our suffering, it doesn't matter whether it's an enemy attacking us, whether it's a physical ailment, God's there. He's there to help us. He's there to teach us His way of life and that we can grow more and more by that. I'm going to go to Psalm 84. I was going to conclude with this, but to Psalm 84, to the chief musician upon the Gittith, a psalm for the sons of Korah. How admirable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul long, yea, even faints for the court of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. What an attitude to have, to just your whole soul and being to want God to be involved in your life. Yea, the sparrow has found a house and the swallow a nest. This is also a song from our old hymnal. For himself, where she may lay her young, even thine honor, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength, again, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca makes it well. The rain also filleth the pool. They go from strength to strength. So you keep increasing from your trials, and the more God strengthens you, you keep going on and becoming stronger and stronger in your Christian walk. No matter what happens, they go from strength to strength. And again, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. O Lord of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy court is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusts in Thee. And verse 11, I think it's talking about the resurrection, you know, will give us grace and glory. And we have a part of that grace and glory now, but when the resurrection comes and we have glorified bodies. What a wonderful thing that will be. And we'll just bless God. Bless the man, you know, bless His name. We're blessed to have a relationship with Him, as verse 12 says. I'd like to conclude in Ephesians 3. But before I do that, let's go to 2 Corinthians 11, which we read earlier. And I want to pick it up verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. His back must have been horrific. 2 times was I beaten with rods. 1 time was I stoned. I'm not sure I understand how the stoning was. I picture it as people throwing rocks. I'm not totally sure that's correct. I think the Mishnah talks about they would put a stone on the chest of the person and crush him. And so he wouldn't be able to breathe. So I'm not sure, but I picture it as stone as being thrown. Well, if that's happening, you're going to be pretty bruised up. 2 times I suffered shipwreck. 1 night and 1 day I had been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watching often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, in cold and nakedness. And then he talks about, besides all these, without that which comes upon me daily, the care of all the churches. And that must have been a tremendous burden upon Paul. I mean, I just think of my own self, just trying to get a sermon's a burden. And he had to deal with all the different things with the people, and it must have weighed heavily on him. Now let's go to Ephesians 3. And I'd like to start in verse 11. Ephesians 3, verse 11. According to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulation. So he's asking them not to be heavy, you know, not to let Paul's tribulation discourage them. For you, which is your glory. For some reason, what Paul was going through was for the glory of the Ephesian church. For which cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened. Again, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you be rooted and grounded in love. That's a prayer that we all should have. I think it's very lacking within my church's experience, that the love that we should have for each other. We should be rooted and grounded in love and in a relationship with God and each other that it's just above what I've experienced in the church. And so I know I'm not there yet, but that is a wonderful thing to pray for. That we may be able to, verse 18, comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. So to know all the dimensions and to know the love of God which passes knowledge, to know all the different dimensions of love. I have a lot to learn. That you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above what we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. That power is Christ who strengthens us. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. It's amazing to me that Paul could go through all those beatings and things and yet have an attitude and write things so inspiring, talking about love and the glory we'll have later on. Roy Campanella was a special man, and God blessed him a lot. We can learn a lot through him from the suffering he went through. The last verse, and that's why I wanted it to end with Psalm 84. And I'm just going to turn there to the very last verse. It says, O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusts in Thee. And Roy Campanella was truly blessed because he trusted in God. And so will we.